Hello, I'm Pastor Jeff Glenn, and this is the Weekly Manna Podcast. For those of you who've been with us, we are in Genesis, and we've been going through Genesis chapter 38, the story of Isaac, and so, or 37 last week. We'll be in 38 this week. So naturally, we're going to start reading in Genesis chapter 28. Then Isaac called Jacob and blessed him and charged him and said to him, "You shall not take a wife from the daughters of Canaan." So that's informative for what happens in verse 38. So we remember that in verse 37, we left off with Joseph being sold to Potiphar. And then we have this chapter 38, which is all about Judah and his sons and that drama. And it won't be until chapter 39 that we pick back up with Joseph again. And to be honest, if you're writing a book to try to convince people that your God is better than their God, I'm not sure you would include this chapter at all. This is a sordid chapter to be sure, but what it shows us is that God is in control, and he uses the events and circumstances of our lives for his benefit and for our good. And so we see the opening of chapter 38 with Judah, who is Jacob's firstborn son. And he departs from this whole mess of them selling Jacob, and he visits a friend of his, apparently, and meets a woman that he's enamored by, who happens to be a Canaanite, but nonetheless, he marries her anyway. So that's why we flashed back to Genesis chapter 28. And it goes back even further for when Abraham sent for Isaac a bride and told the servant not to take a Canaanite wife. So there's clear instruction in the family not to take a Canaanite wife. The clear reason for that is that the corruption and the distraction from God that would come from doing that would be essentially a curse on the family. And so we see what the results of that are in chapter 38. We see that Judah, with this Canaanite woman, Shua, has three sons. And the first two sons, Ur and Onan, they both are killed by God. And it's another reminder for us that it's God who sets the standard for what is good and what is evil, because Ur is killed because God, in verse 7, "But Ur, Judah's firstborn, was wicked in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord killed him." Now, I don't mean to laugh there, but it's very plain that whatever Ur did, or the posture of his heart, was very wicked, and so the Lord sought judgment against him. So then Judah had Onan, the secondborn, instructed him to take Ur's wife, Tamar, and create a child, which would be his posterity, which would be his the generation to pass. But Onan didn't want this. And so while he slept with Tamar, he made it so that at the end it wasn't able to conceive. And in verse 10 we see, "And the thing which he did displeased the Lord, therefore he killed him also." And so this is a pattern that we see in Judah's part of the family here, in these two sons coming from Judah, who just took what he wanted based on his own desires. Because remember, it doesn't say that there was a wedding or that his dad Jacob was in any way involved in that. He just said he visited his friend, saw a daughter of a Canaanite, and married her. And so we have this sort of passing on through the family. And then Judah promises Tamar that, "Hey, if you just wait a little bit until my third son, Shelah, grows up, then you can marry him, and then you can have a child from him." And so in that culture, in that day, Tamar really didn't have a choice in the matter. It wasn't like she could go off on her own. If she wanted to be provided for, she would stay with the family and wait for Shelah to grow up, and then they would have a family. But as Tamar would be disappointed in this, because as Shelah grew up and his time of coming of age came and passed, there was no wedding. And so she took things into her own hands. And so we see that it's very questionable the way that she did this, but given the culture that she was in and the example of Judah, she knew Judah, and so she knew Judah would fall for this. So she dressed up as a prostitute and convinced Judah to sleep with her. And it's actually interesting here that he actually bargained with her and was willing to give up quite a bit just for this cheap sex. And so here in verse 17, he's saying, well, I'll give you a goat, a young goat for my flock. And she's saying, well, no, I need something else, a pledge, so that you will actually give this to me. So he gave her, in verse 18, your signet and cord and the staff that is in your hand. And he gave them to her and went into her, and she conceived by him. And so Judah was very willing to do this. Now, this was after the death of his wife, but nonetheless, Tamar knew the character of Judah and didn't hesitate in doing this. And she got what she wanted out of this. She became pregnant, and when it became obvious that she became pregnant, then she made this known to the people in where they were living, that in verse 25, when she was brought out, she sent to her father-in-law saying, by the man to whom these belong, I am with child. So she presented the things back to Judah, the signet and the cord and his staff, saying, this is the man with whom I'm pregnant by. And so it humbled Judah made him as culpable as it did her in this act. And from this union, we see in verse 27, now it came to pass at the time for giving birth that, behold, twins were in her womb. And so she actually had twins from this. And there's a little exchange in here too, much like Jacob and Esau, a little bit of a wrestling match for who would be the firstborn. And we see that in verse 28, and so it was when she was giving birth that one put out his hand, and the midwife took a scarlet thread and bound it on his hand, saying, this one came out first. And then it happened, as he drew back his hand, that his brother came out unexpectedly. And she said, how did you break through? This breach be upon you. Therefore, his name was called Perez. And afterward, his brother came out, and his name was Zerah. But what we see is both in the lineage that's described in Matthew and in Luke, we see that Perez is right there in the lineage of Jesus. And so, God is in the business of completing his will. And, he uses weak and corrupt, rebellious people to achieve his will. And that's no excuse to be a knucklehead, right? But what we see here is that God had promised to bring about the one who would crush the serpent's head. And this was the way he chose to do so, through this, not appetizing story at all. This is not dinner time conversation. It's not a bedtime story, but it's what happened. And God is seeing his will be done through Perez in the lineage of Jesus to come. And so, with us being on this side of the cross, we can see this more clearly. The Old Testament people, they needed a better father than Judah, for sure. And, they needed a father that would keep his word and protect and set a good example. But we have that in our Father in heaven. And we have in Jesus the one that will always keep his word. And so until next week, stay encouraged and stay in the word. We'll be right back.